Let the church say amen.
Amen.
God is good. And all the time, God is good. It's so good to see those of you that are here. I realize that we are missing a few this morning, but thank God that we are and that you and I are here. And we are to be eternally grateful to God for blessing us to be here this morning. I realize that the day is a little warm, and we shall try to do an attempt to get you out of here as soon as we possibly can. But you know what? Hell is warmer. So think about it for a moment and make sure that you are not just complaining just to be complaining. This morning, the scripture reading was read for your hearing from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. We'll reread that in a moment. But first, let us go to God in prayer. O Lord, our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we have been blessed. We have been blessed to be here today. You put us to sleep on last night, and then you sent an angel to awaken, lift our heavy eyelids to awaken us once again. We are so eternally grateful. Father, we have so much to be thankful to you for, but sometimes the best that we can do is simply say thank you. And you know if it's from our heart, you know what that we mean it, O Lord. Thank you, O Lord, for all you do for us. And may we continue to walk in thy ways, O Lord. Help us to be strong, be straight, and be forward walking and forward thinking, O Lord. Thank you, Father, for all of those that are in the audience this morning. And we pray for our leadership here. We pray for their families. We pray for the brethren who have taken part in the services thus far this morning. We pray for their families, and we pray for all families, especially those who are members of the household of faith. We thank you, O Lord, and we pray for those who may be grieving the loss of a loved one today. We just pray that if it be your will, you will continue to strengthen them and give them a renewal. Father, we thank you for everything, and we thank you for the leaders of our free world in which we live. We pray not only for our leaders, but for leaders in the other parts of the world as well, that they not harm or hinder us from studying the Word of God. We thank you, Father, for Jesus Christ, who one day went to yonder's cross, who hung, bled, and died, that we might have a right to the tree of life. We thank you, O Lord, for the families that are raising their children up. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, that they may raise them up in the admonition of the Lord. We thank you this morning, Father, for the Church of Christ. We thank you for Jesus who died that we might have this opportunity to eternal life. We thank you for so much and everything, Lord, and we pray for those who may still be on their way here this morning, that they may get here safe and securely. Thank you for everything, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. Let us all say amen. Once again, I realize that the audience is a little bit sparse this morning, but nevertheless, we want to first of all thank God for giving us such a wonderful day on yesterday. And we want to thank him for all of those who participated on yesterday in our annual picnic. The yard was ready, the weather was right, and many were hungry, and we fed them. And so let us be thankful to God that we were able to do such. And I know that you will be thanked individually later on. But this morning, we want to talk from a subject, from now till then. It is a good thing when the church is leading and teaching in the way of the Lord. As we look in our text today, we find Paul giving encouragement for the work of the church at Thessalonica, telling of Jesus to come there and there. Aim was to be patient and wait for the Lord in his coming. This congregation was an example, or is an example, for us today to follow. to show us today of how we should be waiting and working from now until then. We need to wake up. When we think of sleep, we think of inactivity, indifference, and rest. I think it's time for all of God's children to awake. We see in many of our churches today, many are lax in their services. Changing and reinventing that which was going well from the beginning of time. All in order to draw a crowd. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 14, the Bible tells us, "Awake them that sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." This warning was given to those who were not living right, both then and now. We cannot be a half a Christian and a half of a non-believer. You are either a full-time Christian or a full-time non-Christian. Just like there is no half lie and no half truth. It's either the whole truth or it's a whole lie. And God hates a lying tongue. We must get ready, for Jesus is coming again. And we must be ready for him when he gets here. We must live righteously from now until then. For the then is when he will be back. We must make our minds up on how we are going to serve and who we are going to serve. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, the Bible tells us no man can serve two masters. He will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. We must stop trying to please man and concentrate on pleasing God. It may mean telling your mom or your grandmother, "I'm sorry, but I can't go to church with you," because that was not the church that was proposed in Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 18, where Christ said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." None other can talk like that about their church. Only Jesus can. Now, if you go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, look at verse number 5. "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, in as much assurance ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you," verse 6, "and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost." In our text today, we notice something there. We notice that they were followers of, look at verse number 5 again. "We know that you had power and in the Holy Ghost, and as much assurance, you know what manner of men you were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost." So we need to wake up. If we're asleep, we need to wake up. We also need to get up. What we should be doing from now until then, we need to get up. Waking up is not simply enough. There's much work to do. There's a lot of work to do right now. We should try to be like the church in our text. They appeared to be not only a church that was awake, but they were very much about the business of church. He spoke of their works in verse number 3 of 1 Thessalonians 1. He said, "Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God our Father." So they knew what they were working for. They had an opportunity to present themselves decently in order. They had work of faith. They had a labor of love. They had patience of hope in Jesus Christ. But then when you drop down to verse number 7, they were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. Church, I need to ask a question this morning. Are we a shining example to others? Are we a shining example to let others know who we stand for? I mean, individually, are you an example that others may see God in you, Christ in you? There's much to do right now until we get to the then. For the coming of our Lord and Savior, we should now be praying, and not only praying, but we should be working, as Colossians 3:12 shows us. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. And then in verse 13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. In other words, we need to get rid of those old grievances that we have. Let it go. Get rid of it. It's probably not worth getting upset over anymore anyway. You know, I often tell you how that some people hold grudges year after year after year. Many of us have had grudges so long, we don't even know what we're grudging about anymore. It's old. It's let it go. And these people in Thessalonica church were examples to all that believe. So we need to be examples for others. We should study more that we may know what God's will is for us. In 2 Timothy 2:15, the Bible says, study to show thyself approved. Not for me, you don't study for me, but unto God, a workman that needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So when you study, you don't have to come back and let me know that you study. Because my approval doesn't mean anything. You're studying to show yourself approved of God. In 1 John 3:17, it lets us know when we have the ability to help our brother who may be in need and we don't help him, how can we say that we love God? We've got to be willing and ready to help others. The Word of God teaches us that we are to love one another. I know you've heard that many times before, but you've got to live it and not just hear it. We are to put our love on display, and not just by saying we love, but we must put it to work, keeping ourselves unspotted from the world, as James speaks of in James chapter 1, verses 27. We are to visit the father and the widows in their needs. These are things we must do now while we are yet waiting on the then, which is yet to come. The then, which is yet to come. Look at verse number 8. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place your faith of God word is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. But verse number 9, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. So we not only need to wake up, we need to get up. We also need to get ourselves shaped up. The book of Hebrews tells us to lay aside, in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1, to lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us. So you might ask the Hebrew writer, what is he talking about? He's talking about the things that are of the world, for they are dead weight to the soul. It pulls against the thing God wants from us. And that causes us to pull away from God instead of pushing toward God. We need to run this race with patience. Patience will allow us to withstand the objects and the difficulties that come up in our way. Help us to resist the temptation that causes us to fall short of the finish line. We need faith to show us the right way. Verse number 2 tells us, who is the author and finisher of our faith? In his resume, Jesus' resume, it lets us know he has the character, the patience, and the patience to overcome adversities. We need to call upon Jesus. We need to call upon him that we may stand proved before him. Then we need to lay aside those weights that are dragging us down. Weights like unforgiveness. Weights like gossipness. Weights like resentment. Weights like trying to get you through this so that we can get out, but I need to have this voice enhanced.
There it is. Hello?
Thank you. As I was saying, we need to drop all of those dead weights that are against us. Those weights of unforgiveness, gossip, resentment, jealousy, and anything else that causes us to be running outside of the course of God. We must put on Jesus and become a member of his church, for it is the only church built by the perfect builder to serve as the perfect institution in an imperfect world, to allow imperfect people the chance to everlasting life. God is all right with us this morning, and we need to be all right with him. As I hasten to bring this message to a close this morning, church, all we have is now to get it together, for Jesus is coming back, and he is coming for his church. We need to be preparing right now and work until then. Work while it is yet day, for John 9:4 tells us the night come when no man can work. We would be wise to work now while we still can, preparing for our time, for it shall come. And as I bring this lesson to a close, watch the last couple of verses in here, in verse 9 and 10. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how we turned to God from idols to serve living and true God, and to wait for his Son in heaven, from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Church, you got to understand that Jesus is coming back. He's coming back again, and you know what? If you think that's just a maybe, you need to read up on your Bible, for the Bible tells us that he is coming back. He may not come when we expect him to come, but he is coming. He'll come when he is ready to come, not when we think he ought to get here. When we prepare ourselves now and prepare to wait on him, we'll do much better off. We'll be much better off, I should say. When I think about what the text in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1 says again, it says in Hebrews 12 and 1, wherefore, seeing ye are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Verse number 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Church, Jesus is sitting down at the right hand of the Father, and we need to be preparing for His return, for one day He shall return. The New Testament speaks many times of His return, and I don't know about you, but I certainly do believe that He is coming back. And I'm not a perfect soul, and neither are you, but I'll tell you from this point that anyone who is not preparing shall be in for a rude awakening in the then. When you think about it, God is all right. God made us. God created us. God knows everything about us. So how can you get anything over on God? How can you try to live outside of God and think that you beat God? You didn't beat God. God has a surprise for you in the end. If you're not living like Him, like His will is for us, you're going to wind up in an awful place that you don't want to go. So I ask you this morning, what are you doing from now until then? Are you waiting in patience? Are you serving the Lord? Are you doing by the word of God, His will by His word? Or are you just skating by? I could tell a little story, but I won't. That's all right. I'm just trying to let you get out of here now, because I know some of you might seem a little bit warm right now. But God is good, because He did give us some air to blow on us, did He not? So never worry about things that you can't control anyway. Just remember the word of God in your life, which you can control. And somebody may say, well, how do I take control of my, how do I allow Jesus to take control of my life? Well, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. What a day for a dip in the baptismal pool today. But if you've already been dipped in the water, if you've already went down in the water, but you walked astray. And men do walk astray. Women walk astray. Christians walk astray. Non-Christians are already astray. But if you walked astray and you need to come back home, ask God to forgive you. Come forward. Ask the church to pray with and for you, that you may gather your strength as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.